verse 4 down to 7. Glory to God. Last week we did look at Luke writing a case for the Christians and how he opened it up and stuff like that. Today we are actually going more into the content of the writing, what is written, the word that is written, as we look at our series of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. This is what Luke says in the verse 4. On one occasion, while he was... Actually, let's start from verse 3. Then that way, it will be a bit more clever. After his suffering, he presented himself. He's talking of Jesus. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, verse 4 says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is the word of God. Glory to God. So we are looking at the verse 4 to 5. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to this earth, stayed on this earth for at least 34 years of his life. He had come to make clear what the kingdom of God was all about. And he had come to set the path for rebuilding the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus had been crucified, he'd been buried, and had resurrected. And after he resurrected, we see in this passage, we talked about it last week, he stayed on this earth for 40 days. And we did say that let nobody deceive you to think that this Jesus thing is a lie. History proves that the guy, when he resurrected, lived on this earth for another 40 days, talking to people and all that. This is recorded. It's history. So now Jesus is about to go to heaven, and he gives them final commandments. You see, it is always important when someone is dying, their last sayings are very, very important. Likewise, Jesus is departing from the face of this earth, and he gives his disciples final instructions. And he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. But to wait. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Jesus had nothing else for the disciples to do other than to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father, as he puts it. Jesus knew that they really, really, really could not do anything effectively for the kingdom of God until the Spirit came. Last week, we did talk about how Jesus himself, before he became the exalted Jesus, depended on the Holy Spirit on this earth. And we remember that during his baptism, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit descended on him like in the form of a dove and rested upon him. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he came out from the wilderness after his 40 days of fasting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he performed many, many miracles, many, many transforming situations. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit like that. And then when he even died and was resurrected from the death, when he had become the resurrected Jesus, he still depended on the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit of God to teach his disciples certain things. And now Jesus is telling his disciples, I am leaving you and I'm going, but don't do anything else except the Holy Spirit. He says the promise of the Father comes to you. And he knows that in order for us to be any effective in this kingdom, that he had come to create the perimeters for in any of his disciples to be useful in this kingdom, they needed to be touched by the Holy Spirit. Just as he had been able to do everything he had done by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, wait. There are many ways we could look at this wait. To wait means that it was worth waiting for. If it wasn't necessary, Jesus wouldn't have wasted energy and time on that. Wait, he said. Because don't forget, Jesus is leaving. These are his final words. And so he would not commit his energy and time on unnecessary things. He would rather focus on things which are important. And he says, wait. To wait means that they had a promise. It would come. You see, he said that the Father's promise, it will come. If Jesus is saying wait, then it means it will happen. The Word of God says that God is not a liar. He's not a spirit that he should lie. And so God cannot lie to us. If Jesus says wait, and you wait for him, it will surely happen. To wait means they must receive it. They couldn't create it themselves. You see it here. To wait means you have to really, really, really receive it. It's going to be something that is going to be given you based on God, the Father's wishes, not your wishes, not your willish, not you wanting, not when you want it. And you couldn't create it. I have seen so many people create, pretend, as though they are operating and doing things in the Spirit when it is really not the Holy Spirit. You cannot phantom the Holy Ghost. You cannot pretend. You can't. It will be seen through you. And for many people, the desire to be able to do things and to create a certain perception that the Holy Spirit is present in their life without the right heart has pushed them to even the place of being possessed by demonic entities, and they do things as though they are being influenced by the Spirit of God, but rather a demonic entity takes over the person. Not just that, I know people who would go to voodoo to take powers, demonic powers, to come and pretend as though they are doing things in the Holy Ghost. As we study this passage, you will see there are people in the Bible who even tried to buy the Holy Ghost with money. Peter performed a miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God moved. And a man looked at the situation and he said,
hey, this is awesome. That man was a wizard, and so he came to Peter and said, hey, can I buy that thing that you carry? And Jesus, Peter told him, this one is not for sale. You will die with your money. The waiting means it must be received. And if it must be received, if I want the Holy Spirit, if I need the Holy Spirit, if I really have to wait for him, then it has to be very important. And if it is important, then I really have to receive it. He is a gift and we have to receive him, just as we received Jesus Christ. Jesus being the ultimate gift that the Father will give us. He says, wait until you receive that other gift that the Father has for me and you. And so to wait means that they would be tested by waiting at least a little. Many of us can't stand the test of time. Time has its way. I always say, people who talk to me, they know. I am that type that will tell you, just be patient. Give it time. Give it time. Give it time. I believe that God has his way of exposing the truth within time. Time. There is a test that is in this waiting. Are you going to be proved worthy of receiving or not? Are you going to be able to wait or not? Are we actually waiting? That is why I asked you to talk to one another from the beginning. Are you waiting? Are you excited? Are you looking forward to this Holy Spirit? You see, the lie in the church has been that, you see, it's okay for you to live your life anyhow. You don't need the Holy Spirit. It is something that happens. And so if you don't have him, you are okay. You can live your life. And that's fine. It's a lie. You really want to be the child of God that Jesus has called? You have to need to want. You need to need him more than anything to take over your life. So I would do anything, I tell you. And he commanded them, the writer says, he commanded them the promise of the Father. And then he goes ahead, baptize with the Holy Spirit. Until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is another example of how the fact of the Holy Trinity is seen through the Bible. Jesus himself is speaking. And he's talking of the promise, which is the Holy Spirit. And he says the Father, the Trinity in action again. The Father, which is coming of the Holy Spirit. The promise, which is coming of the Holy Spirit. It is significant that this coming filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father. If it is the promise of the Father, and God is not the type that discriminates, God is not the type that hates, God is not the type that looks at people's faces, then that means that me and you, just as those people on that dime received the Holy Ghost, me and you can also receive him. Because it is a promise. The Holy Spirit is a promise to me and you. So any person that accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this then should make me and you look forward to that promise, that gift. Lord, you promised me. How is it that I am not baptized? How is it? It shows that the promise belongs to all his children. Pearson says, the promise of the Father now became also the promise of the Son. Because Jesus is now promising that the Holy Spirit will come. So it is not just the Father who has promised, the Son has also promised that the Spirit will come. And so even if the Father will fail you, the Son says, I will not fail you. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's by the Son's word, the Holy Spirit has to come. Today, we need to ask ourselves, are we baptized with the Holy Spirit? The writer says, Jesus said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Next week, we will actually look at the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So who is this Holy Spirit? What is this Holy Spirit? Which is this Holy Spirit? We will try and break it down. Children of God, by God's grace, I was such a struggling Christian. I was such a misguided Christian, being led by people, being tossed around anyhow, when I did not know and understand what it meant to walk with the Holy Spirit. But when the Spirit of God, when I had the opportunity to be baptized by Him and He took over me, my whole thinking and understanding, and I tell you, Christianity didn't become a battle for me anymore. Many of us are in that position of being tossed left, right, center. Difficulty, trying. We don't know our lives. We don't even know. Yesterday, me and my wife, we were going on a ride with the family, and Joel asked something about the cloud, and my wife said, the cloud moves because the wind blows it. I didn't know that. I tell you, my wife is the brainy of the family. And so I said, okay, let's ask Siri. And then we started laughing in the car. Siri will not control your life when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. You won't be controlled by Siri. I have a friend who dreamt, and then when he woke up from her dream, she went to the internet to find out what the dream means. And I said, God, so now the Holy Ghost cannot talk to you about things that He reveals to you anymore. That you have to go for some witch somewhere to tell you what your dream means. Many Christians are caught in that place. We are being tossed about to and fro. Even when a doctor speaks to us, we take the news of the doctor. What is God saying about my matter? I have had a situation where a doctor told me, you have a kidney problem. And just when the doctor said to me, you have a kidney problem, the Holy Spirit ministered to me, but the Lord is your healer. And so it was up to me to believe whether I was going to be healed or I'm going to live with a kidney problem. I'm telling you, today I am free from kidney bondus. I don't have a kidney problem because the Lord Jesus healed me. You see, to be baptized as the Lord Jesus uses it there means to be immersed. To be immersed. So He's saying, wait until the Father's promise has been established in your life. But you will be immersed. He didn't say you will be touched or something. No. He said you will, until you are immersed. The baptized over there, the word for baptism, to be baptized means baptizo, which means dip. That's why during baptism, we Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, we believe in the immersion into the water and out. And the same principle is applied here. When you are immersed in the water, the baptism means to be immersed or to be covered by something. And so Jesus is saying that, wait until you are covered by the Holy Ghost. Wait until you are covered. Many of us are not covered. So we are open. And so anything comes at us. We want to do the work of the kingdom. We want to serve God, but we are not covered. We are not shielded. And so when any demonic arrow is fired, it comes directly at us. And when some physical punches are also thrown, it comes directly at us. Any kind of attack comes to us because we are not immersed. We need to be immersed. We need to be carried. You see, to be covered with the Holy Ghost means He then carries you. You don't carry the Holy Spirit. I remember some time ago here when I preached and I made an analogy where I showed what it meant to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. If I drink water, it goes into me. At my salvation, it is clear that it is the Holy Spirit who is doing the work for me to be saved. And so, yes, you have a little bit of the Holy Ghost with you when you receive Jesus Christ. Yes. But that little bit is not enough. That little bit you got was enough for you to be able to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. But you now need to be baptized. And so the Holy Ghost lives in me. I don't want Him to live in me. I want Him to carry me. You see the difference? If I run to this, if this was filled with water and I dived into it, the water was going to hold me. The water is what's going to keep me. And it is the same way with being baptized with the Holy Ghost. If I'm immersed in the Holy Ghost, that means it is the Holy Ghost that controls me, that takes me, that carries me, that leads me, that influences me, that does everything in my life. And Jesus is saying, wait until the Holy Ghost immerses you like that, covers you like that, carries you like that, promotes you like that, covers you like that, prevents you like that, saves you like this. Because the journey that we are in is not the journey that you can walk without being immersed. Jesus is speaking. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? That is what we should be asking people today. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Not are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? No. Are you baptized in Him? Are you immersed in Him? Are you being carried by Him, or you are carrying Him? Is He in full control of your life, or you are controlling Him? I want to be controlled by Him. Just as He used Jesus, I want to be used like Jesus. Like Jesus. And even not many days from now, Jesus says, they knew that this promise of the Father would come, but not immediately. It would be days from now, but not many days. Jesus had a purpose in not telling them exactly when it would. Imagine. If Jesus had told them in 10 days the Holy Ghost will come, they would have gone to do anything they wanted to do. Then 10 days, go and sit there and start doing their pity party thing and going through the notions like some of us do when we come here. We go through motions. We go through notions. It is no more about encountering God anymore. It is normal to us. Some people literally know our strategy, our system here, how we do things. So it is now going to be praise and worship, and then after praise and worship, we will pray a little bit. Then after prayer a little bit, He will do the offering, and then we will preach the sermon, and then we will close and we will go home. We know the formula. If He had told them, that is exactly what they would have done. But the test was that go and wait. They didn't know. So even as they've had Jesus for this short time, they asked Jesus, When you look at the verse 6, the disciples asked Jesus a final question before his ascension. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They are still thinking carnally. It wasn't wrong for them to ask Jesus that, because throughout the Bible, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, and through history, they knew these are Jewish young guys who knew the Torah, they knew the Bible, and they knew the promises of God, that God was going to restore Israel. And they were under suffering by the Roman Empire. And so, if Jesus had come and he had been saying that he is the King of Kings and he is all that, Jesus had died and he had resurrected, now basically Jesus is going to restore the kingdom. They still didn't understand it. They were looking at it from a physical point of view. But it was okay for them to ask that. Because when you are physical and you are not in the spirit, you always look at things physically and you approach things physically and you use your mind physically in all situations. Which is also why we need the baptism, so that we do not think of life physically anymore. That which we see do not become that which controls us, but which we know in the spiritual realms. They were being physical, and Jesus had to draw their attention. Jesus had to draw their attention. He said, it is not for you to know the times. It is not for you to know the times. It is not for you to know the times. It is not for you to know the times. Some of us have become this kind of people. Prove to me before I believe. Prove to me before I believe. But today, I have ended my sermon here saying that it is no more about proof. The whole Bible is a history of who Jesus is and what he came to do on this earth. Many people who have walked by the name of the Lord Jesus have seen transformation in their life. And those who have believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've seen the Holy Spirit use them mightily. And we have come to this place in our life where we need to stop looking at things physically. Jesus said to the woman at the well, there is a time coming where the true worshiper will worship God in truth and in spirit. We have to become spirit-minded people. Spirit-focused people. People who see things from God's perspective, not human perspective. And so my question here to you today is, are you baptized? Are you immersed? Next week, we will handle the Holy Spirit.